You know, there's a couple different places in this message that, you know, it might not make sense, but God interjected things. And when God interjects, I listen. So even the beginning, I wrote this down. His name is powerful. His word unstoppable. And all things with God are possible. He says, Job 42. I said, okay, Job 42. Now verse 2 says, I know that you can do everything. This is Job speaking. And that your plans are unstoppable. His plans are unstoppable. What kind of plans are unstoppable for us? Plans of what? Prosperity? Of not trouble? And plans for the future you hope for. I said, awesome. Thank you, Jesus. Okay. Have you ever found yourself snared by a particular persistent problem or trouble that you just can't seem to fix? You've done everything you know. You focused on it. You prayed about it. You scratched your head over it. Some of you scratched so hard, you scratched your hair right off your head. But you still can't figure out what's behind it. You don't know why it is like it is. It just is. So, you get on the phone and you call your friends. And you talk about it. You describe the problem to them, one person, and then to the next. And again, you say things like, man, this is bad. And nothing I do seems to help. Well, Proverbs 6:2, it says, you have been trapped by what you said, ensnared by the words of your mouth. See, you may know better than to talk that way, but you've gotten so caught up in the negative flow of the circumstances and in the world that we live in, we just open our mouth and we let it fly, right? We release a flood of unbelieving and ungodly confessions that actually help keep alive what you want to change. Okay. We release a flood of unbelieving, ungodly confessions that actually keep alive the condition we want to change. The problem. As long as we keep calling things that they are, those things are never going to change. The answer? Are we not supposed to be imitators of God? Well, what's God do? We must start calling those things that are not as though they already are. Both the scriptures, that was Ephesians 5:1 and 4:17 of Romans, if you need those. Think of your words of like pushing a start button. Most of us nowadays, when you get up in the morning, and you go out and get in your car, what's the first thing you do? You push the button to start the car. Because if you don't, you ain't going nowhere. You do like me, I get in and keep pushing the radio button, and I say, the car won't start. And wrong one, move over one. And then you got a trunk button over here that when you're shut off and you want to hit it, and you're hitting the start button, and you're hearing the car start. I said, well, okay, wrong button again. Be aware of the buttons you push. That's what I want to say there. We have to push buttons to activate different processes and functions at home and at work. Especially if you're in a production line. Am I right, sir? There are a lot of buttons that got to be pushed down there. Or you aren't going to get no product. We push a button to turn on our coffee pot, a dishwasher, our washing machine, our computer, and our television. Sometimes it's a button we shouldn't push. A start button sets in motion the process by which we receive the desired end result. A cup of coffee, clean dishes, clean clothes, a functioning computer. Do you know even cell phones have an on and off button? Just like your iPad. It's got an on and off button. Here, that's the one thing he's learned to do. Okay. Praise God. But you know the thing about that cell phone? If it's not turned on, all that awesomeness that it can do doesn't work. Still has to be turned on. And I found out that every once in a while, you have to turn it off so it updates. Because when it's not working properly, I sat out here at the bonfire, and it was a couple years ago, and I told Kyle, hey, Kyle, my phone, it just doesn't do this, doesn't do that. He says, do you ever shut it off and let it update? I said, shut it off? I didn't know you had to shut it off. You shut it off, and when you think your phone's sleeping, it's doing something. And believe me, I know when it's on, people are listening. Not just who you're calling. And don't tell me it's not. Don't tell me it's not. Because they can get warrants and go out and find out what you've been saying. Is it a good thing or a bad thing? You know? All right, let's get back off of that. Okay. But it's buttons we push. Well, the same truth is in the spiritual realm when we speak words. We have multitudes of promises from God's word we can expect to see come to pass in our lives. But first, we have to set our faith in motion by speaking and calling things the way we want them to be, not how they are. You might say, oh, I've heard that again and again, and I do speak words of faith. It just doesn't work for me. It just did. Our words are a start button. When we push the button, it starts things in motion. Starts things in motion, good or bad. When we speak words, all of heaven's angels are waiting to hear what we have to say so that our words can be acted upon. In Psalm 103, verse 20, Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. They are waiting to hear what comes out of your mouth. So is the devil. The devil has no right to us except what we give him through our words. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 12, verse 37, for by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Words have creative power. In Proverbs 18:21, the Passion Translation, because I know my elder sitting there, his mind went to the King James, but listen to this in the translation passage. Your words are so powerful that they will kill or give life. And the talkative person will reap the consequences. Consequences. That's a result or effect of an action, good or bad. Like it or not, this is a word-created, word-controlled universe. God established it that way a very long time ago, in the very beginning. He made everything by calling things which be not as though they were. He set everything into motion by speaking into the darkness. No matter how dark it may seem for you, speak into the darkness. Be an imitator. He will bring light. Well, in Genesis chapter 1, verses 1 through 3, says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was formless and empty, and darkness covered the deep waters, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the surface of the waters. Now, that struck me, hovering. Hovering. That's flying above in like holding position, just hovering there. Did you ever see a helicopter when it's just, they just hover? That's the Holy Spirit's hovering. But he's hovering, and when you research it out, he's hovering with great expectation on what is about to take place. He's excited flying there. All right, God, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? What are you going to do? Because he doesn't know. He doesn't have the answer, but he knows God's going to do something. Yeah. Verse 3, then God said, let there be light, and there was light. Yeah. When they did that, all I could see is that Holy Spirit going, wow. Man, he just took off. Yeah. He wanted to see what was in that darkness. From Genesis to Revelation, our Bible makes it clear that we live under a word-activated and word-governed system. It's always been that way, and it always will be. We can't change that fact. We can, however, choose the words under which we live. We can change our environment by what we say. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 14. Wise words bring many benefits. Wise words bring many benefits. In Proverbs 15, 28, it says, the heart of the godly thinks carefully before speaking. Here's what Jesus has to say in Matthew 12, starting at verse 34. Matthew 12, verse 34. For the mouth speaks out of that which fills the heart. The good man from his inner good treasure brings out good things, and the evil man from his inner evil treasure brings out evil things. But I tell you, on the day of judgment, people will have to give an account for every careless or useless word they speak. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Think carefully before speaking. A lot of wisdom in Proverbs. Well, in Proverbs 25, verse 11, like apples of gold in settings of silver is a word spoken right in circumstances. Selah. Whatever is in your heart determines what you say. Makes sense to word up, does it not? See, in this natural world we live, we even have to speak the result we want. Say you want to have a round building built. Just an example. Say you want to have a round building built. And you tell the contractor to build you a square one. What are you going to get? even though the desires of your heart are to have a perfectly round building. You're right. You will get what you said. So it is with life. What we say with our mouth is what we are going to get, even though we might desire something else. Think carefully before speaking. We live in a world created and world and word upheld universe, do we not? And it's pretty awesome. The other night, I walked out. Well, every night I got to go out and take Leah out before she goes to bed, and then midway through in the night around 3:30. But anyhow, when I went out there, it was a beautiful night. I looked up and the stars were just, I mean, they were so bright. All the constellations, you could see them. But it wasn't just that. You know, usually you see that and there's darkness. No, you could see it was so clear up through the sky was just nothing but stars, was it not, Teresa? Because I said, hey, babe, hey, I'm screaming, get out of here. And I says, turn off the back porch lights. Yeah. Well, I said, turn off the back porch lights, come on. And all we did was stand up and stare. And it was like, oh, it was awesome. Yeah. And God placed every one of those stars there with his mouth. He placed them there. The whole universe. Mm-hmm. Not just this earth, but the universe that we live in. I'm telling you, words are powerful. Words dominate and they rule our lives. And it cannot be changed. But we can change the words under which we live. Proverbs 13:3. People who are careful about what they say will save their lives. But those who speak without thinking will come to ruin or be destroyed. Words determine what we will have. Jesus in Mark 11:23, for assuredly, I say to you, who's talking again? Who's he talking to? That's right. Whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes that those things he says will be done, he will have whatever he says. Somebody said, maybe I'll give it a try. Don't just try it. Just do what he says. Do what he says. It's a done deal. Don't look back. Say, thank you, Lord. You're taking care of it. It's a done deal. Just do what he says. Don't try. Do it. You can't hit that note? Yes, you can. Do it. Out of my range. I mean, it's out of your range. God and the anointing will make up the difference. I'm telling you. Don't rely on self. That's our problem. We rely on self too much. Well, it's such a little thing. Well, guess what? God looks at every little thing to every big thing. They're no different to him. Start thinking like God thinks. Even when you know the truth about words, though, choosing the right ones is no easy task, is it? So we live in a world with a negative flow going the wrong way. And if we relax in the flow, we will wind up drifting downstream with everybody else, and we're going to end up sick, we're going to end up broke, we're going to end up depressed, and eventually dead.
Come on. That's pretty good preaching right there, Pastor Jack. Come on.
So we have to build ourselves a boat in that stream. Yes, a boat out of God's word. Pays to be worded up, amen?
Yeah.
And then you grab your faith oars and you start rowing the other way. Now, there's a lady, and I won't mention her name as Lynn. She proceeded to build a boat out of God's word. She's been in a battle. She's been in a major battle with cancer. And there have been so many evil things that have been spoken to her, she never agreed with one of them. Mm-mm. There was a negative flow trying to pick her up. She built herself that boat. And then she took out those oars. And she stroked and she stroked. And you changed the position from where she was at to a position of called remission.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Hallelujah. She's in remission. She trusted in the Lord. Is she completely out of the woods? I would say, yeah. But you know what? Everybody else keeps saying, well, Lynn, you got... She said, nope, I'm healed. Now all I got to do is get myself built back up, get her immune system back to its level, where it's supposed to. No more chemo. No more chemo. That's awesome. When she was told otherwise that, hey, sister, ain't no hope for you. But God is right. She placed her total trust and confidence in Him. Did not listen to anybody else that wanted to speak anything negative. You wanted to speak negative, she told you, get out. Seriously. She wasn't pulling a punches. She knew it was a matter of life and death. Whether she wanted to live or die, she chose to live. She chose to believe the Word of God. And when you choose to believe the Word of God and speak the Word of God, you have a result of called remission. I just heard her down. She's shouting amen right now. Yeah, I know that because she called me while we were at getting Teresa an eye exam. And I answered, standing there in this waiting room with all these people with their masks on and everything. And she said, Pastor, can you talk? And I said, yeah. She says, I wanted to call you. I wanted to let you know to be the first one. I'm in remission. I screamed, hallelujah. We I was talking. Teresa's tapping me. I didn't care who in there heard. Maybe they needed to hear that testimony. And I shared it with the receptors right there pretty loud so that everybody else could hear. Because it got awful quiet. Yeah. Praise God. God's timing is impeccable. Thank you, sis, for that. Choosing right words is not often easy, but it is important. And that's why? Because we will have what we say. Because you will have what you say. Yeah. You hear that? Because you will have what you say. That's Mark 11:23, wrapped up in an easy-to-understand package that you have to work awful hard to misunderstand. Am I right? It's what word of faith beliefs are based on. It is spiritual truth. Some people don't want to believe it's true because then they would be responsible for what is going on in their lives. Most people want to blame the devil or they want to blame God's will for the problem they face. If it be His will, well then... If you got cancer, you say, if it be His will. That's not His will. It's not His will for you to have cancer. It is His will to heal you and get you through it. There's another one back there. She rang the bell. She rang the bell. Amen. And we don't take the credit. He gets all the credit. See, it's important on how you agree with someone. You agree with them, agree with them. If you can't agree with them, shut your mouth. That's what I'm going to tell you. Shut your mouth. And don't go talk to somebody else after them. Oh, you see what they're going through. You're just putting that doubt and everything else out there in the atmosphere. Praise God. Sure, we will face trials. We're going to face persecutions. But if we're supposed to be salt and light, we can't be sick, broke, and have that look of defeat on our face all the time.
Oh, yeah.
Put a smile on your face. If you're going through something, we are to count it all joy. Joy. What did that song say? When the valleys that we wander turn to mountains that we can't climb, oh, He is with us, never leaves us. Can you hear it? Can you feel it? It's the rhythm of a gospel song. Oh, once you choose it, you can't lose it. There ain't nothing going to steal your joy.
Amen.
Why? Because you choose.
Yeah.
It's a choice.
Yes, it is.
Count it all joy.
Yeah.
Victory is yours.
Yeah.
He already did it. We just got to start realizing it's done. It's done. It is finished. It's what He said. He said it from the cross. Where all that sickness and that disease and all that sin and disobedience, it's finished. Took care of it all. Last week, we are seated in a position of authority with Jesus. Above what? All principality, all power, all might, all dominion, and every name that is named.
Yeah.
Our position is above only.
Yeah.
Never beneath. That is a blessing of obedience. It's a blessing of obedience. Now, this is that point where I was telling you, and it took me to these scriptures, and I said, okay. And this is for, it's got to be for somebody because I kept going back. I don't want this, Lord God, to be but what You want it to be. And said, somebody needs to hear this. Okay, Deuteronomy 28, verse 7. The Lord will cause your enemies. Enemies is anything that will harm you, okay? Who rise against you. To be defeated before your face. They shall come against you one way and flee from you seven ways. And then took me over to Isaiah 54:17. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. That's God speaking. What about all those words that are being said? All those negative words and people, things they say. Well, let's finish that verse. And every tongue which rises against you, God shall condemn. That's a big you. You understand that? God shall condemn. This is the heritage of the saints of the Lord. That's you and me. Let them talk all they want. Because we know who's going to take care of those words. And he's going to say, thank you, Lord. I'm not moved by what I hear, by what they say. No, I'm moved by what I believe. And I believe in You, Lord. I believe in You with all my heart, all my mind, all my soul, all of me. All of me is committed to You. We don't want nothing else. All right, that was for someone, and I said, okay. All right, now back on with our message. God has delegated authority here on earth to us. From our seat of authority, we use our words. We exercise our authority by using our words. From our position, we're seated with Him.
Yes, we are.
Above, only. Never beneath. All principality. Come on, all power. All might. All dominion. And every name that is named. Our words have authority to create every time we speak and when we pray. When we pray on Wednesday, if we speak positive results in prayer and negative results the rest of the time, our negative words are going to prevail. Do you know that?
Come on, Pastor. That one needs repeated.
Yes, sir. If we speak positive results in prayer and negative results the rest of the time, our negative words will prevail.
Hallelujah.
Wonder what's holding up your prayer?
I have.
Right there. The Lord told Charles Capps this. He says, I have told my people that they can have what they say. And they are saying what they have. Saying what you have has no power to change things. The key to receiving the desires of your heart is to make the words of your mouth agree with what you want. Make everything you say agree with what God says. Be consistent in saying only faith words. Now, believers, they help each other to train our mouths to speak only words of faith. So when another believer corrects you and says, that's a bad confession, don't get aggravated. Just say, hey, you're right. In the name of Jesus, I rebuke that confession and I render it powerless to come to pass in my life. See, we have to help each other. Husband and wife believers, especially, don't get aggravated either. It can make for a long day and a quiet evening. I'm just telling you.
Hallelujah!
Can I get a witness? Jesus. But see, that's what we're here for. We want to make sure that when we hear you say something, it's to get you back on track. That's what we're supposed to be there. And you got to do it, you know, in the right way, too. Because sometimes you deliver it like, oh my, that was terrible. That was terrible. And they didn't walk away edified or anything. They just, that's it. They upset with you. And then it takes phone call after phone call to settle it all back down.
That's right.
It takes forgiveness. Speak whatever you desire to come to pass in the name of Jesus. Take authority over the money you need. You need money? Command it to come in. Hey, you're a tither? Command it to come in. Whatever you put out is going to come back a hundredfold. And when you give it with the right motive, there's blessings upon blessings upon blessings for you. You're never going to lack. But you can. You can call it in the name of Jesus. And if you need healing, speak to your body. Speak to your body. I do. Command it to be healed in the name of Jesus. Command it to function properly. Talk to your kidneys. Talk to your liver. Talk to your heart.
Yeah.
You can. There are so many individual organs within that have to work together in systems, and all the systems in your body have to function and operate properly together. Command them to do that.
Yeah.
God designed this body that everything works together. You get one out of sync, it affects another. Amen. That's what you got to do. You got to speak to your body. So whatever you say will come to pass. You speak it, it's a done deal. Simply believe it. Simply believe it. Assuredly, I say to you, you speak to the mountain and cast it into the sea. Got to go. Got to go. Done deal. Now, we can't change our talk by simply coming to church one time a week. There's only one way to achieve this, and to do it for long term, by meditating the Word of God. Yeah. Word up.
Word up.
Word up. Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
In James chapter 1, verses 6 and 7, "But let no man or woman ask in faith, but let a man or woman ask in faith with no doubting." I had to get that straightened out here. "For the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that he or she will receive anything from the Lord." Two simple choices here. You can waver or you can receive. You can't waver and receive at the same time. You know who knows this? Satan. And knowing this, Satan has one tactic in mind: to get us to doubt God and His Word. But remember this: if Satan had any authority of his own, he wouldn't have to depend on deception. He has no authority. But he's good at deceiving and deception.
Yes, yes,
Satan has to trick us into saying what we want to come to pass. You know that?
Mm-hmm.
See, with our mouths, we either resist or we comply with Satan's demands. See, with our words, we either resist or comply with God's word. We are in command. See, the choice is ours. Nobody else makes it for you. In 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 10, "If you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies." The reason for staying in the Word of God continually, and it's so important, is because Satan is waiting to curse us. So it makes sense to be worded up. He wants to steal, he wants to kill, and he wants to destroy all of the promises of God before they ever reach us. But he can't do it without our cooperation. See, we're the only ones who can give him access to our promises. And we do this through our words. Proverbs 21:23. "Watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut, and you will stay out of trouble." Watch your tongue and keep your mouth shut, and you will stay out of trouble. So the first step in defeating Satan's attack against us is to make the decision that we are not going to allow him to change our confession of faith. See, a fearless confession comes from a word-ruled mind. It's a mind that knows the Word of God is true and never gives place or an opportunity to the devil. That's why we must do what 2 Corinthians 10:5 says. 2 Corinthians 10:5. "Casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ." Our mind is where we first choose to give place or to resist the devil. So James 4:7 makes a lot of sense. So be subject to God. Resist the devil. Stand firm. Don't give up your ground against him. And he will flee from you. Whatever it takes to make you free, speak it out in the name of Jesus and command it to come to pass. Speak the results that you desire. Satan can only do what you say. If you say flee, then he goes. If you agree with him against the word of God, he's pulling up a lounge chair, folks. He's going to hang out with you. Proverbs 29:20. There is more hope for a fool than for someone who speaks without thinking. Think before you speak. Faith-filled words change your circumstances. A good person produces good things from the treasury of a good heart. What you put in. Many people hear the word of faith and they decide that they will change their circumstances by speaking faith-filled words according to Mark 11:23. But many don't realize you can't fill words with faith out of your own determination. Romans 10:17. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Words become faith words by hearing the word of God. Then by continually hearing and hearing and hearing the word, faith comes and faith remains. Continually hearing and hearing and hearing. Faith comes and then faith remains. Faith remains. Faith or fear is based on what you hear. If the world is distracting you from God, then most likely your faith confessions will be empty words. You are not going to experience the resurrection power unless you set your affection on Him. See, it's time to stop telling it like it is and start telling it like the Word of God says it should be. When you continually speak the Word of God in the face of adversity, you will change your circumstances. Refuse to let the devil or the world influence your words. Stand firm in your decision to only speak what you want to see come to pass in your life. Push the start button on everything you're believing for and watch as faith sets things in motion for your behalf. Then you're going to sit back and you're going to watch Him do what He is famous for. Amen?
Amen.
Thank you.